This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Yeah, how you feeling tonight? I am not feeling good. Jake and I start recording. Instantly a bag of shit. I just want a turdy, so I'm feeling like a bag of shit. Go to make a comment and my tongue is stuck. OMG, guess I really suck. Jake says, Amir, you're such a fucking useless fuck. Are you feeling what I'm feeling? I haven't had a golden mic in 8 damn years. Staring at this turdy and wishing all this hurting would turn to cheers. But it all ends in tears. I'm not really feeling like going to clubs.
Tell us how you feel.
Well, I feel like turds.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling like a massive crappy sack of turds.
Oh, yeah.
Big ol' motherfucking duffel bag of turds.
Oh, yeah.
All day, all turds. I'm not really feeling like going to clubs.
Tell us how you feeling.
I'm feeling like turds. Ladies, yeah. Do you feel like turds? Tell me, do you feel like turds?
Oh, yeah.
Fellas, yeah. Do you feel like turds?
Yeah.
Tell me, do you feel like turds?
Oh, yeah.
Like turds, tell me, do you feel like turds?
Oh, yeah,
fellas, yeah. Do you feel like turds? Tell me, do you feel like turds?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, do you feel like turds? Yeah,
you danced during the do you feel like turds part.
That was a parody of Bo Burnham's Shit.
Love it, love it. What a show, what a song
called Turds, about our turdy awards, the ones that I sometimes receive and you sometimes receive.
I don't know if I've ever gotten one, yeah. I think maybe I gave myself one once.
You haven't. By Tony, big fan, but newish fan. I've only discovered you a few months ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's rare.
I didn't really know that existed. Did you?
Yeah, that's great.
So he's just like a fan of our podcast recently. I didn't.
That's wild.
I never really thought about that.
It feels like from the beginning we've had an aversion to making new fans.
Yeah.
You know, early on, I said no new friends.
Yeah, I've only thought about sort of keeping the fans that we made in 2006 sort of engaged and interested.
Yeah, that's what
I never realized that we could, in theory, be actually tapping into new fandom as a way of growing traffic and interest.
It seems rare. It definitely seems rare.
So we'd have to like do publicity, promo marketing, and sort of reach comedy fan, like I don't know how it works really.
I feel like we'd have to change our sense of humor because I feel like we appeal to like a niche crowd.
Yeah,
so we'd have to find like broader appeal.
Yeah,
you know,
and I don't want to do that either.
Like I can't believe somebody started listening a few months ago and dove in on the golden mic bit, which I think has been for years. That didn't alienate Tony right away.
We should ask this guy how he discovered our podcast and if he even knows we made videos.
Right, that'd be cool.
He says you can refer to him as DJ Tone McCone. That would be awesome.
Love it.
Tone much McCone. Love from Salem, Mass.
Nice. I love Salem. Old Salem, they call it.
P.S. If you aren't watching Ted Lasso, you really should. That's my unsolicited advice.
Okay. I've actually not enjoyed the second season as much as the first. Let me be the first person to say that.
Wow. You're really going on record as saying that?
Bomb drop. You know, the season's not over yet. I think there have been some good episodes, some bad.
Never work in Holly Weird ever again after that leaks.
Leaks.
That's basically your death sentence.
Leaks. What are you talking about? Leaks.
I'm going to put that in the show and everyone
I said it in the show. I said it on the show. This isn't gotcha journalism. That's my fucking public opinion.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, I love this season. I think this season's great.
I would love an opportunity to write for season 3 is all.
That's all.
All right, I'm back in Los Angeles after visiting you in New York City.
What'd you think?
Beautiful this time of year. It was
One hurricane while you were here. That's pretty good.
It was a tale of two trips. I was there for like 8 days. It was like 4 days before the storm, 4 days after the storm. And then after the storm was just bright, sunny, dry, perfect California weather in the New York environment. Best of both worlds.
It's really something. New York's good for like 3 weeks out of the year. It's perfect.
It's absolutely stunning. Is it back to the raining mode yet? Or
I mean, yesterday was also really perfect. It's a little dreary today. It's raining, but tomorrow 75 and sunny. Yesterday I went on a bike ride, 75 and sunny. Great.
Oh, wow.
Good time.
So I guess if I came back, it'd have to be like September, October, April, May.
Yeah, those are the times.
Those are definitely the times.
Yeah.
And you're recording in the room I stayed in.
Yes, I'm recording in Amir's room. That's what we call it now, my wife and I.
Did you notice that I left you a little trophy underneath the couch that you're sitting on?
Yeah, I smelled it when you, I think you did it early on in your stay.
I shouldn't have done it in night one. That's true. But yeah, I left you a little
turdy.
You left
a little turdy.
I gave you the turdy. The problem is I fucking, you know how I sleepwalk and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I ended up thinking it was a bonbon.
Oh, no. That doesn't sound like you sleepwalked then. That sounds like you
I sleep you know, ate shit.
You have to.
I
to think it's a bonbon.
Shit.
To think it's a bonbon. That almost signals that you woke up, became aware, you saw the shit, and you misconstrued.
Shake your bonbon, shake your bonbon.
You ate poop.
I ate my own shit. Yeah.
Will Stevens style.
Thank you. A lot of highlights. We shot some episodes, we hung out, we made some TikToks. We really generated a lot of content.
We really did. We recorded a podcast of some variety every single day. We shot three Jake and Amir videos. We made TikTok videos. We did an Instagram live.
Yeah.
We were back to our old ways. We were back to our old form, I think.
For a week.
This is why
Corona didn't happen.
Like you have
to, we were prolific.
You have to move here, man.
What are you talking about? I did move there. I moved there for 10 years. Then
yeah,
we
and
both
then I moved,
left and
then
you
I
went
moved,
back.
Yeah. And I moved to LA for 5. And now I'm back.
Right.
It feels fair to expect you to spend 5 years in New York City.
You left. You left LA. Why would
you left New York? What are you talking about? It doesn't matter about who leaves. It's about who comes back, who returns. You know?
Me in 10 years.
It's not about who leaves, it's about who returns.
Yeah.
And how he got there. You know what I'm saying?
I'll do this. Let's choose a new city. Then we both have to suffer a little bit.
Fine. New Haven.
It's so close to New York. It's worse than New York because it's further north and it's not even the city. Same weather, too.
It's a great city. Philadelphia.
Still close. Too close to New York. I'm talking about like someplace in between, someplace in the mountain or central time zone.
I will go to Boston, but I don't want to.
That's not it. That's not.
I want to. I think it's important that we're on the Northeast Coast. I want to be an easy train ride to the city.
Of course, yeah. And I'm saying that if we're gonna do this, if we're gonna both sacrifice equally, it should be like we're moving to fucking Dallas or something.
Why do we both have to sacrifice equally? Why couldn't you sacrifice more?
That's what I'm saying. It's unfair if I sacrifice more.
Unfair to who? To
you.
To you, maybe. No, not to me.
To me. Yeah, to me.
So
unfair to me if right, I sacrifice more.
I think it's the lesser of two evils to do something that's only unfair to one of us instead of to both, don't you think?
I want to do half unfair for both of us. Half unfair.
I'll move to... Does it have to be in the middle?
It could be closer to the. It could be Chicago or something.
I'm saying. I mean, I would do Melbourne. So, like, we could live in Australia. That would be cool.
That's cool. All right, I'll do that.
Really?
Then we can make shit again.
Yeah.
Without having to fucking zoom it up.
Would you spend a year in Australia with me?
Yeah, probably. I have no obligations anywhere.
It's kind of sick.
As long as I can Airbnb my house and sort of make a profit, it really has to be a money making opportunity for me to consider it.
a business expense.
Yes, a business expense and an entrepreneurial spirit has to imbue the entire affair in order for me to make cash in a way that year.
I fucking love it. You won't do it. You won't do it. Put your house on Airbnb. Put your house on Airbnb. If you get a bite
for one,
then
weekend.
We start looking. No, yeah. Well, yeah, you have to get, no, you show when it's all available. You know, you start seeing that it's a profit, that there's, you know, that's a money maker.
Cash flow positive.
It's a cash cow.
It's a cash cow, and I'm going to moo cow moo all the way to Melbourne, Australia.
Then we go and spend a year in Melbourne and we make videos. Who says no? Who says go?
I guess Jill would be against it because she has like a job in New York and she wouldn't see you for a year.
Well, she would come.
I see. That's cool.
But yeah,
I didn't realize she was that mobile.
Yeah, no, she's not. She would. I would. You know, the like fair to who thing. I would have that conversation with her.
Yeah.
basically, beg, borrow, and steal her heart to get her to move to Melbourne. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out on the day.
Yeah. Yeah, you just moved into a new place in New York and you're already considering just packing up and moving 30,000 miles away.
Because I bet I could Airbnb this spot for a fucking pretty penny.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we just never lived anywhere and only Airbnb'd,
we would make money and wouldn't have a house.
Yes, exactly. That's what it would be. We would make money and be not with a house. So, all the cash, but then also, like, we're camping or something. Something affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Something fun, cheap, and affordable.
Yeah.
All right. So that was DJ Tone McCone, and this is us, If I Were You, the Only Advice Pod on the web, hosted by me and Josh.
I'm Josh.
Got a real quickie to get us started.
Nice, love that.
It's kind of a long email, but the question is fairly straightforward. So why don't we just give this guy a real quick name? What's the shortest name you can think of?
Bo.
Bo writes, he's basically been jerking it to his friend's photos, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gay dude who's jerking it to a picture of a straight guy friend that he's kind of close with. Should I feel guilty about this? Is there a moral line, he asked, that I've crossed here by using photos that aren't posted publicly?
I think the question sort of begs the answer, as it were. Should I feel guilty? He already does. He does feel guilty. That's why he's emailing us and asking for the advice.
Interesting. So he's hoping for... He wants us to clear his conscience.
He wants absolution, which I will not give. It's not illegal.
Nope.
You know, you can go anywhere in your brain, in your mind. I think that it's uncouth. It's something that you wouldn't want your friends to know.
No, but at the same time, they'll have no way of finding out. Would you feel offended if someone was jango to a picture of you? I wouldn't care.
I don't think I would care. So I guess you could ask your friend, but also, I feel like there's, you know, some people absolutely would. There definitely it goes different ways. I think maybe.
You think so?
Well, yes. I'm sure that if any of my female friends, if I did that to them, they would be very upset. So.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. Well, I don't know. I mean, when you said it, it sounded right. But then, like, I'm thinking about it. Maybe they'll be flattered.
I don't think so.
I guess there's no way to find out.
We should have asked this question when Avital or Jill were on. It absolutely needs a female perspective. But this is a gay guy asking about other straight guys. So actually, we are more the authority on answering his question.
Yeah, we just have to imagine, put in our shoes, a gay guy saying, he looks at pictures of me and Jay-Zo.
Yeah. And for me, I guess I would be fine with that. I still don't think that you... Part of the reason why you must like it is that it's a little forbidden and it's a little cheeky, if not more than cheeky. So
it's not just cheeky,
I don't know.
It's
this
ballsy.
Is a weird question because I think he... He feels guilty. He likes it. He likes the rush. I don't even know what the question is. Is it a morally gray area? Yes, it is.
So do you not do it anymore? Do you do it and ask, or do you just keep doing it and not mention anything?
I mean, I don't know. What would you do?
I would not ask. I would continue doing it. It's fine. It's like fucking policing our thoughts. We can't do it. I'm going to J.O. to whoever I want to J.O. You can't fucking tell me not to fantasize about people.
Man.
It completely doesn't affect the person.
Right. I mean, I think of all of the... I'm not telling the guy to stop. That was... you farted. You just ripped ass again.
Yeah, I was hoping you either couldn't hear or I was going to mute.
Yeah.
I actually have to fart again. So, that was half of it. That was a half
measure. That was only half?
Yeah.
Go ahead. That's a turdy. That's a fucking turdy. Of course that's a turdy. It's a literal turdy. You fucking sharted your pants on the podcast. You don't expect that award. That shame. Dude, that was tacky.
What? I wasn't even going to fucking leave it in. Yes, I wasn't even going to leave it in.
You were going to leave it in. You left the last one in. You ripped ass twice. Two times. You broke wind.
Two times, you should say.
Man.
So yeah. Ask, don't ask, don't tell.
I don't think that it's... asking seems bizarre. I wouldn't go so far as to tell him to stop either. I think what's happening is kind of what's going to happen. You're doing it. You feel a little weird about it, which you should.
Ultimately, it's fine.
But ultimately, it's fine. I know I personally would not care.
Yeah, same. All right, let's take a break. Answer some more questions on the other side of these massages.
Nice.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness?
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness nah. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. Don't have unsolicited advice this episode, but I did want to sort of delve deep into the low light of my trip, which I sort of mentioned to you in passing.
That's right. You did. I was like in an antique store upstate when you called and told me the story. So I actually didn't retain very much of it.
Okay, great.
I just know. Yeah. I'll let you have the floor.
So the day Avital and I were in New York for a wedding, which was the day before Labor Day on Sunday. So I'm like, oh, well, she's getting ready with the ladies. I'll get a haircut. Plenty of barbershops in Brooklyn. This is great.
You texted me.
Where should I get my haircut?
And I gave you a great recommendation, which you did not follow.
I had to get my haircut I had to be at the wedding at 5, and it was like 1. So I'm like, all right, I have 4 hours to get a haircut. But then I went to the place you recommended, and they were busy until 5, so I couldn't get it there.
All right. I'm glad that you went.
Yeah.
Cotter Barber. Shout out.
So then I went to a different place. Should I say the name? Like the whole thing I want to get into is it was such a negative, nasty experience to me that I like almost had to journal about it, and it turned into a Yelp review that I haven't necessarily left yet. Mm-hmm. I was going to sort of read it to you.
Right.
And then we can decide together whether I should be leaving this Yelp review or not, whether it's good to even leave a negative Yelp review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
So this is what I wrote today, just free flowing, letting my thoughts come out of me. It tells the story of what went wrong at this barbershop. Mm-hmm. So as I'm reading this Yelp review, feel free to interrupt, ask questions, whatever.
You got it.
Okay, here we go. This is what I would potentially leave on this page.
What's your Yelp username?
I don't know if I have one. I've never left a Yelp review.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this is going to be a Yelp review or a journal that will help me work through my feelings about place. Mm-hmm. But either way, I feel like this is a necessary piece of mental journalism, if only for myself. Let me start by saying the haircut was fine.
Wow. Yeah, your hair looks fine. Your hair looks totally normal.
It's a little messy today, but yeah, overall, the haircut itself was fine. It was not like bad in that way. So then you sort of wonder what ways could it have been so bad if the haircut ended up fine.
Right.
But life, as we know, is about the journey. It seemed as though the regular barber, who I figured out is named Eli, was either busy or suffering from COVID that day and left his little brother, maybe, whose name I didn't get, in charge of the entire barbershop. Eli has some sort of anti-mask ideology that's either real because it made its way onto other Yelp reviews or is completely unfounded, and thus I apologize. Basically, a bunch of people have left comments on Yelp saying he refused to wear a mask.
Got it.
But Eli, this guy wasn't there. Eli, who's the only barber listed on the website, was not at the barbershop when I went.
So that's why, and you assume he got COVID because of the anti-mask thing.
Yes.
Nice.
Now, as for the antagonist of our story, this man or child, whatever a 38-year-old calls a 22-year-old, is seemingly rushed over from his first day at barbershop school to open this place up. He had just gotten the syllabus and had to head out because his uncle or cousin Eli wasn't able to work that day. A Sunday in Brooklyn, the most popular day and place to get a haircut. Now, I don't claim to be good at everything. There are plenty of situations and jobs I would also be completely overwhelmed at the thought of doing. And again, the haircut was fine. But our anti-hero, while decent at cutting hair, was completely over his head and scared at every other little thing that it takes to run a barbershop, which you don't even think about until they're being done poorly. So here's the story.
Yeah, I want to know what those things are.
I walked into a barbershop and I was told I would be next. Just a few minutes if I wanted to stick around and have a beer. Gotta have a beer, it's 2 p.m. and a barbershop.
Nice, so Brooklyn chic.
Exactly. I told our man or kid or whatever who was currently cutting somebody else's hair that I would take a lap around the block and return.
Did the person whose hair he was cutting, did that look like it was a normal thing? Like
totally normal, totally fine. Like nothing felt amiss yet. Mm-hmm. Except as he was cutting his hair, as I was leaving, he also picked up the phone because, again, he was doing everything. No Eli in sight. COVID, who's to say? Upon my return from my small stroll, I was told that somebody else was actually ahead of me in line. Could you possibly just wait? It won't take long. Not sure how I got cut in line, but this is a barbershop after all, so I guess cuts are par for the course. Ha ha.
Love it.
I tell this intern slash boss that I'll go get lunch and be back in an hour. I spend the next hour on Yelp walking to other barbershops that were either too busy or too closed to cut my hair.
So you didn't get lunch?
I did not get lunch.
I see. You said, I'm going to get lunch. I'll be right back. You tried to go elsewhere.
I tried to hopefully never come back. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was all you could do.
I was getting a weird vibe from the guy. It was like, I have to cut his hair, but it'll be really quick. And it's like, okay, something's weird's happening, but sure. Our overwhelmed main character, who is like Roberto Benigni pretending to cut hair to escape Nazis, is still working on our main man who either cut me or was ahead of me legally. So I take a seat. I proceed to wait another 45 minutes. Oddly slow, but maybe our client has a particular set of needs, so I can't quite understand how it's now 3:30 instead of 2 p.m., but it's now my turn to get a haircut. So an hour and a half has gone by, and he's cut one person's hair. This point, I'm in the worst place on earth to be in a rush, stuck in a chair next to somebody who I can only assume is the host of a hidden camera game show in which contestants like me, who are very mellow and not anxious at all, are pushed to their patient limits for fun and cash. Our Joker's nerves, heart rate, and face resemble somebody who's disarming a bomb as he cuts my hair, or helping their wife give birth in an elevator as he begins to chop me up. I hope for a quick haircut, then a beard trim. Neither of which happen. The razor hurts as he pushes it into my temple, a small but forgivable mistake. The scissors occasionally cut my ear. Oopsie daisy.
Oh my God.
We sit in silence as he breathes.
So the haircut wasn't fine.
It turned out fine, but the process it looks of it was bad.
Yeah. A painful haircut's not. Yeah, like, that's bad.
It was like pressing into my head a lot with the razor. Like he was learning how to use these tools earlier today. Yes. We sit in unmasked silence as he breathes ever so slightly and moves slightly, so everly, in a way that convinces me I'm going in a way that convinces me I'm going to get the Delta variant, but I'm too polite to do anything about it. He's holding only two items, a comb and scissors, and yet his hands are full and clumsy like a teenager carrying too many bags because he only wants to make one trip. I'm not sure how or why, but the comb keeps flicking my forehead whenever it's at rest, and he keeps repositioning my head by the eyebrows. I wonder why you're touching me there, but as a hostage, I'm groomed not to question my captor.
So groomed. He kept like very good. Was that intentional?
He kept like moving my head like by the eyebrows, like repositioning me. I'm like, you don't have to fucking touch me this much.
Move the scissors, not my head.
And the way he kept like holding the comb, like kept like flicking me in the forehead. Very, very new. The silence was broken as when he nervously asked me a question, voice shaking like a nerd in a movie on a date. So you're not working today? I laugh uncontrollably because, again, it's Sunday, now 4 p.m. and I'm at a barber shop. No, man, I'm not working today. A complete zero for the small talk attempt.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
After 45 minutes, I implore him to move on to my beard, which really just needs a trim. The only thing that a beard can basically be done to at a barber shop. Also, did I mention this place is called, all right, I'll say the name at this point, Beard Barberia. It's called Beard Barberia.
My God, I know where that is.
He tells me he's almost done, a phrase I keep hearing a lot as he begins to cut smaller and smaller portions of my hair, finally getting to a point where I'm convinced he's not cutting anything at all. So he's like trimming like the bonsai, just like less.
Why?
And less and less after 45 minutes. Seriously, I think, am I being filmed right now? But I walked into here. How did the producers know I'd choose this place?
Were you like telling him you had anywhere to be? Were you ever like...
Towards the end, I'm like, I gotta go. After another 15 to 20 minutes of panto cutting, my internal dialogue raged over in a way that's never happened before. It's like being stuck on a terrible date, only I can't move because I'm under a robe and he's holding two knives to my brain. I have wake paralysis as I begin nervously laughing to myself and then eventually out loud. Hey, man, I'm running out of time. You gotta move on to my beard. He says his sentence again. Yeah, sorry, almost done. We repeat this song and dance 4 or 5 more times as I start laughing louder and louder. Is this what going crazy feels like? This whole thing has a real delaying me for a surprise party energy. I give up and say, okay, I'm going to stand up right now. Sorry, I really have to go. Because he wasn't stopping to cut my hair. I'm like, I'm going to literally stand up. So like, move, get out of my face. He says, okay, sorry, yeah, I could do the beard. What are you looking to do? Like a trim or a blend? Or the question scares me away from trusting him to do any more work. It's been over an hour of sitting and I had to cut him off. I can't imagine letting him anything so close to my jugular. I make eyes with a person waiting to go next, and I try to, like, shining convey a sense of dread so he feels it in his bones to leave. No such luck. I go to pay. You don't have to pay, he tells me as he takes my credit card, again shaking. doing everything here because his uncle / cousin / doctor has left him high and dry. It's fine. Just take my money and leave me alone. He can't scan my card into the iPad because that would mean he could do literally any part of his job correctly. And of course, he cannot.
Nice.
Do you have another way to pay? I laugh again. No, dude. Unless you take fucking Bitcoin, my credit card is the only way I could pay for stuff. He nervously tells me it's fine. I don't have to pay. The numbers aren't working. I swing the iPad around and input my credit card information. Works fine, of course. Then he stares me in the eyes and goes, do you want to leave a tip? That's the end of the scene. I regret even leaving a negative Yelp review because this man, who's now kind of my soulmate, clearly struggling enough, and this short story could send him over the edge. But at the same time, I can't just let the universe get away with this. Unregulated capitalism does not work. We need checks and balances. I need to tell my story to warn others that, to warn other people. Otherwise, I'm just as bad as Eli, who threw his son in front of a moving bus to keep his barbershop up and running. 4 stars. So,
4 stars. So you're going to leave good. So this, because the haircut's fine.
The haircut's good. The haircut was fine. It was the story, the process, how everything took so long. And I think this Eli guy is a bad guy. Because I honestly think this kid that was there is related to Eli. And he's like, you have to do me a solid and keep this barbershop open for me.
Right. So, like, you think.
But he didn't know how to cut. Like, it wasn't a complete, like, I've never cut hair before. But it was like, this was his first day trying.
So, that's what I don't understand. Like, how could he have the know-how?
And yet still be so bad? Maybe he's, socially awkward or uncomfortable.
Yeah. What if it really was his first time cutting hair? He'd never done it before. And he just, like, fucking actually knocked it out of the park. Because he went so slow.
He went so slow and he kept saying like, oh, sorry, it's slow because your hair is thick. Your hair, hold on, 1 second. I'm almost done. Cutting slightly less. slowly.
I feel like I could also give you a good haircut if it took me 2 hours. Because I would just do like the tiniest little, you're just like whittling you down.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the hard part, excuse me for saying, but it seems like the hard part about being a barber is doing a good job in a normal time frame. You give me fucking infinite time.
Yeah, anybody can cut hair eventually.
Like, well, I'm the wondering hard part if he is doing was it not 50 a barber.
To 20.
Like, because that's what doesn't make any sense. Like, he knew how to be a barber, but he was really nervous. Maybe he was just worried because he'd never been there without Eli.
And I look online and none of the reviews or the Instagram photos ever mention anyone but Eli.
Right. So, yeah, he must have, like, gotten called up to the show.
Right. So the question is, should I leave this Yelp review? Or is it like, this kid is already struggling so much, will it actually do any good to leave a negative Yelp review?
I guess that's the thing. Like, it feels like this is not what would normally happen at the barbershop. Like, he got thrown a curveball that he couldn't hit. It's not like you just tell me what he looks like. I'll keep on walking by and I'll tell you if he's still there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people should be warned from getting their hair cut by somebody that's that bad. But at the same time, maybe he doesn't usually go there and all this will do will be get him in trouble with Eli, which there's you really hate.
The review that mentioned that he refused to wear a mask said, haircut wasn't great, and the barber asked me to take my mask off, and he wasn't going to wear his until his boss made him. And then the owner privately messaged me, why are you making a bullshit story? Yes, I'm the owner, and no, I don't wear a mask like you, loser, and no, I don't tell people to take off the mask. So...
the owner privately messaged him?
I guess if you leave a negative Yelp review, the owner can message you like a response. And then he published that message.
That's fucking funny.
So yeah, if the owner is actually this bad of a guy, maybe he deserves... I just feel bad for this, you know,
the kid.
24-year-old that was thrust into this situation.
So why not take a liberty and just change it out and make it Eli that did this?
That's really good. So Eli was there, and he's really young and new and nervous and skittish, and he fucked up.
Is that fine? Eli's a fucking bad guy, it sounds like.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on negative reviews in general? Is it worthwhile leaving them? Does it actually act as a warning to other people?
I think for me, I really never end up leaving negative Yelp reviews, because by the time I like get home to do it, I'm like, this is going to be more work than not. But I've never had...
exactly.
I don't think I've ever had that level of experience that you've had. And I also think that like whatever negative experiences I have, they are usually so like person specific. Like the waiter at this restaurant like didn't bring my bill for a long time, or they were, you know, they were bad. But it's weird to be like, this restaurant's bad, because it's a big operation. So, and whenever I read a Yelp review that's like, the server was rude to me, I'm like, well, that's fine.
You might
have been rude too.
as long as the food is good, who cares whether you had a weird waiter that day?
Yeah. Or like, you didn't get along with them. They weren't necessarily rude to you. Who knows? But also, like, I feel like the only reviews I really respond to are ones where they're like, they were, you know, the price, it's like a racket, you know, like it's a scam.
Yes.
There were like rental car places in Iceland where it seemed like that was kind of the deal. They like take advantage of people that can't speak Icelandic.
Right. And usually people who leave negative reviews, like those are the kind of people that like say the waiter was really nasty to me, but like actually they're the bad person.
Yeah. But also, even really positive reviews, I feel like I don't trust either. Because, like, I've eaten at restaurants that are pretty good, and I see a Yelp review that's, like, 5 stars, best food ever. I'm like, well, it's not, you know?
Right.
It's kind of really, like Rotten Tomatoes. Just, it's like, everybody has such... It's so subjective. I guess, like, eventually the crowd wisdom evens out. But, look, I think for what happened to you, that's kind of insane.
He really wouldn't stop cutting my hairs, and it's hard to convey it because, like, you know, the story takes a few minutes, so like it's hard to say how fucking annoying it is to be like underneath this guy for over an hour as he barely cuts and I can't move. But it was like some sort of weird mental torture.
It's a very unique experience too, because that's not the normal kind of negative thing that would happen at a barbershop. It's like the cut was bad, or it was too expensive, or the wait was too long. That did happen. But like to be under the blanket for almost 2 hours and repeatedly say that you need to get up and he has to move on, and for him to not, to the point where you feel like you're getting punked, is truly wild. So on one hand, I feel like you should publish the review. But on the other, I feel like it's so antagonistic towards this kid that I feel bad.
Right. Eli will read it and like get mad at the kid, where it's really not the kid's fault.
But it kind of is. I mean, like, Eli shouldn't have put him in the position. Eli sounds like a shithead on his own right. But this guy should have, like, you know, moved on when you said you had to go. He should have been like, okay, well, it's not complete. But I understand you have to leave.
And he did offer me a free haircut. He's like, you don't have to pay, because like, I know I didn't get to do your beard. I know I didn't get to finish your hair.
Yeah. I mean, him offering to give you the free haircut is definitely a tacit acknowledgement that he was not up to the task, you know? Like, he would agree with you. He would agree with this assessment that it was a bad experience. I also feel like you really went through something because I know what it's so rare for you to speak up.
Right, like, exactly. And for 45 minutes, I just sat there sort of quietly stewing and laughing about this craziness.
I think you and I are very similar in like being conflict averse and like just wanting to be agreeable. Like there have been times where somebody makes me a coffee that I don't like, and rather than say that, I will just like go outside, throw it away, and get a different one. Actually, it happened the other day. You were with me.
Right. You're not going to go back in and say, sorry, this didn't turn out well.
And like a waiter getting a food order wrong, or like me hating the food at a restaurant, I'm like talking about how it's not that good. They come over and they're like, is everything all right? And I go, it's great.
Because I don't want to talk to you about how it's not good.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. So for you to be like, and definitely it's happened with haircuts. Like, how does that look? It's like, it's fine. I just need to get out of the chair. I need to get out of the chair. I need to get out of the situation. But you actually had to say something. You had to fucking announce.
And he basically apologized to the point where he's like, you'd no longer even have to pay. I can't believe the guy who was sitting next to me in line was like just watching this whole thing and be like, all right, my turn.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like how long I would normally budget for a haircut. I guess like an hour.
Yeah. Maybe a half an hour of waiting and a half an hour of haircut. But this was like an hour of waiting and over an hour of haircut.
Over an hour of haircut. I can't even imagine. That seems so excruciating.
I was stuck. I guess
that's what people with long hair have to do.
I was also completely by myself. So like I left the barber. I'm like, that was insane, right? But like nobody to even talk about it with.
Yeah, that's why you called me.
Yeah, I'm like, have you ever been to this place? Is this place notoriously bad? Is it fine? It looks fine.
You were giddy when you called me. You were laughing. You were so confused.
Also, that's why I had to get a burger afterwards.
Oh, you went straight from there to BK Johnny?
That's right.
Wow. I got my burger there the other night. It's very good.
Great burger. I ate it so quickly and felt so nauseous in a taxi ride over the wedding. And then I used your Manscaped trimmer to trim my beards because guy couldn't. Yeah.
How did you find it? I rooted around in my drawers.
Yeah. I sort of did a cursory glance. And when that didn't yield the results, I started sort of ransacking the places that were.
Yeah. I see. That makes sense.
Okay, so let's take another break and try to answer more questions.
Are you going to leave the review? You're still thinking about it.
I guess not. I mean, I feel bad for this kid more than anything. And it did give me a not even that good of a story, because the story is just that he wouldn't leave me alone. But I like,
it's hard to convey that with that. I mean, you do kind of need the long story. Hopefully this was cathartic enough.
It's like being stuck in traffic for 2 hours. It's like the worst thing in the world when it's happening. And then you talk about it. It's like, I was stuck in traffic for 2 hours. But it's hard understand what 2 hours feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that.
I was stuck in a chair for over an hour.
Wild.
Okay, let's take a break. Come back. Yes. More questions.
Tight.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, but we sort of all carry around different stressors, big and small.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard some people do that.
And if you're anything like me, you just sort of keep it bottled up inside and never complain or talk about it to anyone ever.
Very deep, deep, deep down.
Yes. You put on a facade, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a masquerade.
But when we do that, it starts to affect us negatively. It's not healthy. It's not good. That's why I use therapy, which is a safe space to get things off your chest. And there's no better way to use therapy than with BetterHelp.
Ah, very nice.
So if you've been hearing a lot about therapy and you've been wanting to give it a try, but you don't want to, go through the hassle of finding a therapist, driving their awkward waiting rooms, give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suitable to your schedule.
Perfect.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Ooh. Love it.
It helps to get things off your chest. It helps to talk about it.
Right.
So get those things off your chest with BetterHelp. That's betterhelp.com/segments. You go there and you get 10% off your first month.
Ooh, all right. Segments, folks.
Yes. BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
To get matched with your therapist as soon as possible. And if you use that coupon code by going to BetterHelp.com/segments, you'll get 10% off your first month.
Nice.
Give it a try. It'll help.
Yeah.
With BetterHelp.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Last week with Avital, we brought up the idea of reading more follow-up pups. And
that's correct.
People were into it. In fact, some of us even sent in some follow-up pups.
Whoa, who?
The guy who made out with a Mormon, and then she asked him, how do I ask out other guys? And he's like, whoa, that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
So he says, hey guys, I was stoked to hear that you answered my question last week. Listening to it, and I took a pause to give you guys a follow-up. It's been a couple of weeks since the events previously discussed, and I'm still no closer to getting any sort of clarity about our situation. We've hung out two or three more times since then, never one-on-one, and we have a lot of mutual friends, so we have ended up at the same social gatherings, and I expect it to be awkward, but it hasn't really. We've never brought up what happened, and our friends don't know, so I just figured that she never really even thought of this as going anywhere. That's okay, I guess, but maybe I'll ask her one more time before I call it quits.
No, there you go. That seems perfect.
Yeah, I guess, much like a lot of these questions, like, it's a big deal to you and the other person is completely oblivious that anything went wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like, what does this mean? What did she do? Did she do that on purpose? And she's like, I don't remember who you are entirely, so I definitely don't know what I did and how I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're thinking of everything. You're like reading too far into every single thing that I do and also assuming a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But you'll never know anything unless you ask. So it's good that he's going to ask her out one more time. It might work.
I guess we deserve yet another follow-up.
We certainly do.
Can you imagine two pups for the price of one?
That's how most pups are born, I think. Litters.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. Well, one last question to rule them all.
Yes, please. Yes.
Math nerd. So we'll call this guy, a math nerd. A classic Einstein. Math nerd. Einstein. It is I, your smartest fan, Albert Einstein. I'm a high school math teacher whose hobby is reading and listening to your podcast. I started this year, and I'm honestly not 100% sure I enjoy it. Teaching
started
is nice.
This year. That's
yeah.
Another new fan.
Yeah.
Well, not really.
He started teaching this year. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Sorry. All right. Cool. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Missed that.
Teaching is nice. But some kids are obnoxious little turds, and the extra work is time-consuming. Are there any other career options? Oh, it's a woman. We'll call her Alberta Einstein. Are there any other career options for a woman with a bachelor's degree in math? I'd love to consider a career without kids or such a heavy workload. Thanks for your advice. Amir, from one math nerd to another, I believe you deserve the golden mic.
Too late. He got the turdy this episode for sharding not once but twice on mic. On air while we were live, while I was talking.
I didn't shart.
You farted.
Yes, I farted, not into the mic, away from the mic. It picked it up,
on
I
mic.
Guess.
You definitely picked it up. If the fucking computer mic picked it up, yeah, your sensitive ass mic picked it up. Believe that.
Okay, so this lady went into teaching and wouldn't you know, doesn't like it. I guess you never really... Yeah. Think about that. I just think of all teachers as heroes that, like, it's a long hour and it's difficult work, but they love their job and that's why they do it.
Well, because the pay is good.
Yeah, that's right. It's the highest paying job in America.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Teachers are heroes. But it's also fine if you don't want to do it because it is an insanely hard job. So what's another... You're the math nerd. You're the fucking geek. What do you think is... There's so many jobs that rely on math.
Yeah, it's hard because it's like, other than teaching what you learned, what
job. Like if I studied biology and I have a degree in biology, is a biologist an occupation? Is a mathematician an occupation? Or is it just you learn it to teach it?
I think if you have a passion for mathematics, what about being a line producer, working with budgets and numbers?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You could be
an accountant.
But like a line producer actually works on TV shows and looks at the budgets and the rates and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like, you look at any field or any industry, there's something behind it. I think it's the money. It's being a money manager.
That's cool. Finance.
Managing the finances of any sector, any business, any store, any brand that you're into.
I think there's a place in Brooklyn that needs a hair stylist because they seem to be one person short.
Because Eli died of COVID.
Yeah. A maskless man. I mean, if he's not there because of COVID, then this understudy probably has it. I don't see a world where I'm not infected.
You probably are, now that I think about it.
I was maskless, vaxless, deaf and dumb.
My God.
High school math is the hardest. Why don't you kick it down a notch? Like, what if you're a fifth grade math teacher?
She doesn't want to be a teacher, man.
She doesn't want to be a high school teacher because kids are obnoxious little turds. And like teenagers are the biggest turds. Like 9-year olds aren't as big of turds as 17-year olds, right?
9-year olds? Probably. I think they're turds in their own way.
Yeah.
I think they could be turds. I was a turd when I was fucking 9. Absolutely, I was.
9s aren't fine. Why don't you find a grade with the least amount of turds before calling it a career?
I mean, yeah, I guess you could try another grade, but I think that you might just know that teaching's not for you.
Could you be a teacher?
Me? No. Hell no.
But if you had to, what subject and grade are you thinking?
I would teach English writing, creative writing, poetry, sketch writing, writing for the internet, probably something, some kind of version of something that I've done.
Oh, I see. So it's like you're getting paid to be like the cool teacher that comes in at 2:30 and teaches like an extracurricular class.
Yeah. I'd like to teach email correspondence.
Really?
How about that for a career? I think I write a mean email. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we have noticed recently that a bunch of youngsters only reply to the person writing the email and they rarely reply all.
Yeah.
That could be your first lesson.
Mm-hmm. Look at the reply all. Sometimes you want it, sometimes you want to avoid it. Sometimes, you know, there's the grace of moving someone not involved anymore to BCC, being like, you don't have to be here for the coordination of anything. You've made an intro. I set you free. That's nice.
I set you free, CC, to the BCC.
It's an art to bump an old thread to respond to something with inline comments. I mean, you saw that I've been putting emojis in the subject line recently, right? I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. And I think I could really teach a chote for this.
A what?
Chote. I want to teach at chote.
What's
private school. It's a boarding school in Connecticut. It's top tier boarding school.
You have to dress like a naval marine to teach there.
Yeah.
There's an officer on deck.
Salute.
And I'm going to teach you how to forward a chain letter to 10 people or somebody, a ghost, will haunt you.
What would you teach? How to
fucking shit your pants on a podcast? I would teach algebra at my old high school. And that's a sitcom. So I'm sort of at odds with another kid, a bully that used to beat me up, son. And he's like bullying me. And the principal that I always looked up to passed away the summer before I started teaching there. So there's a little bit of heart Ted Lasso style to this
Very
show.
Very good. Very
and
good.
Did I mention I have a crush on a water fountain?
Sorry?
For the better part of my 9th through 12th grade, I've always found a specific water fountain on campus to be hot. And this is sort of my chance to guzzle at her teat.
I liked, I really liked this show. Looked up to the principal. That was cool.
The bully's son was nice.
The bully's son. I could envision
the hot fountain. So where did I lose you?
I liked that you were going to the high school, your old high school.
The hot fountain was cool. And the PE teacher that won't take no for an answer. So I'm trying to sort of get in shape to, in an effort to please slash turn on the water fountain. Yeah.
You can turn on the water fountain by pressing a button.
Yeah. You do not fucking touch that fountain. You don't know how to touch the fountain like I do.
This is so fucking gross, man. You're.
It's an Adult Swim short.
It's a
episodic.
Cinemax late night unsimulated sex with a water fountain.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. New career in anything numbers related and or a new school. Because sometimes schools are filled with turds and sometimes other schools are filled with less turds. So maybe you just have a turd heavy class.
Yeah. You could be a line producer though on a TV show like Amir's Will They Won't They Water Fountain saga.
That's true. And I'll
That'd be cool.
And if you don't want to see anybody, I recommend being an accountant. It's just the number crunching and none of the actual turds. Interpersonal.
Well, all your clients will be turds. I'm a turd to my accountant.
All right, cool. That's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your questions. Back as always on Monday or on Thursday for another testing. And if you have your own theme songs or follow up pups, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Love it.
The opening theme song was written by Tony. Remember that turds song?
Yes. Great.
This
song.
Closing one is pretty awesome. I think this is the first time it's ever happened. It was written by someone in the voice memo while driving. She came up with the song and it's just so inspired. Yeah.
That's fun.
Let me find their name. Oh, yeah. I don't have fancy recording equipment, writes Fran, but this idea came when I was driving one day. And as the song says, you'll probably have to be scraping the barrel to use it. No, she actually has a really good voice. Nothing to plug. Can't wait for HeadGum Live in the UK one day.
God. I can't wait for this song.
Yeah, it's a Frozen parody by Fran B. So thanks to Fran for submitting that. Thanks to you guys for listening. More of us on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
Watching old videos. There's podcast episodes on there, animated shorts, a little bit of everything.
Oh, we gotta write another Stuck. That reminds me.
Another Stuck, more Jake and Amir outtakes. So enjoy everything there. And here we go. Here's Fran with the Frozen parody.
The show must start, but it's getting too hard to write a decent theme tune. I don't do Tom DeLonge impressions, so I guess that I'm doomed. But maybe they'll get bored and delve into the shite. Couldn't hurt to try, so maybe I'll. If I were you, the podcast show, Jake and Amir are these two bros. They'll give advice, no need to ask twice, just sometimes thrice. If I were you, they'll probably put me on blast. If I were you, this idea is right. Should I care or should I just give up? Kill myself in a Starbucks. Jake and Amir, please give me advice.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.